Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Produce Buzzers Podcast. We are so happy you have joined us today, and I think you will be too after the show is over, because you will learn a lot about fresh fruits and vegetables, how to select and store them, how to prepare and cook them, and surprising facts about their history and origin. We hope it inspires you to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, not only for your health, but also for your delight and pleasure as you explore their amazing world of taste and delicious flavors. Eating more of them will transform your life in so many positive ways. So settle back, relax, and get ready for another delicious adventure with the Produce Buzzers. Greetings, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, and welcome to another delicious episode of the Produce Buzzers podcast. I'm Edwin Stepp, your host and executive editor of producebuzz.com. I'm joined once again by Teresa Nolan, the founder and president of Produce Buzz, along with Rick Stepp and Cynthia Benedetto, both contributing editors to Produce Buzz. Now, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, what a fantastic year it has been on the Produce Buzzers podcast. Thank you for joining us and listening, and we hope you'll continue into the next year. You know, this past year, our audience grew steadily and continues to grow, and that is in large part to the wonderful guests we had on the show during the past year. So today, we are going to dedicate the last episode of the year to these giants in the produce industry and the world of fruits and veggies and the nutrition they provide. We are going to reminisce about some of the highlights from these interesting experts. Now, there are way too many highlights from the show. All our guests were fantastic and interesting, but there's way too many highlights that we could review today. So we only have a time to pick a few that stood out to each of us. We learned so much from them all, such as we heard about Dr. Welch's unfermented wine. We learned that watermelons are one of the most affordable and delicious fruits in the produce aisle, not just in summertime, but all year round. We broke the news on a new egg and avocado toast product that is taking the fresh produce departments by storm. We heard from several experts about the importance of plant-forward diets for good health. We saw the evidence that conventionally grown produce is not more dangerous than organic. We learned that the mango is the fruit of love. We learned that the artichoke is the veggie of love. We were inspired by the stories of six generations of apple and pear farmers. We've revisited our family's history and the produce industry and their culinary delights. We found out there is such thing as a badass banana, and yet we heard about angelic citrus, the halos, mandarins. We were inspired by a woman who pioneered the importing of all kinds of fruits and veggies. We traveled with the fruit and veggie hunter, Bob Harrington, who is documenting the world's cornucopia of weird and wonderful fresh produce items. We discovered what makes sweet Vidalia onions sweet. We were told about the plight of Japanese American farmers on the west coast of the U.S. after the start of World War II. We met Dan the Produce Man, and we had several delicious visits from Robert Schuler of Melissa's Produce, a.k.a. the Produce Expert. So stay tuned as each of the Produce Buzzers remember their favorite episodes and guests, and you will learn again about all the exciting facts and info we uncovered this past year. Hello, Produce Buzzers. Welcome back to the show. Are you ready to chime in on the best parts of 2023?
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
I can't wait.
The queen of satire and the queen of facetiousness.
Yeah. See, I got that hesitation.
Well, so Produce Buzzers, let's launch into it. You know, there was like I said, there's so many to talk about that we could talk about, and we love them all. You know, it's like picking your favorite child. Cynthia doesn't know about that.
I have no problem with that.
She's only got one. If you have more than one, you can never pick your favorite. And that's what we have to do today, simply because of time constraints. So who wants to start? Who wants to tell us about their favorite episode or guest?
Okay,
Cynthia. Always trying to be teacher's pet.
Well, I need the ping, ping. So my first choice is Ron Enotomi.
Oh, yes, Ron, our best fan.
I put him to get, yes, he is like hands down. It used to be my girlfriend, Adrian, but she's like, she's dropped the ball, but Ron is like always on.
Okay, Adrian, you got called out. Get back on it.
But Ron is so good and so kind and so attentive.
So knowledgeable as a produce manager at Gelson's, one of the best supermarkets in the country.
I guess that we don't have people on that are not knowledgeable.
True.
That notwithstanding, when I went out to California, Ron took the afternoon with me. Of course, we stopped at Gelson's beforehand. He is like a movie star there. He's a celeb. It was beautiful, the store and the merchandising. His introduction to Tanaka Farms was unbelievable.
George Tanaka. Tanaka Farms is in Irvine, California, I think, or Tustin, what, I don't remember exactly, somewhere in that Orange County, California area. And he has a farm there that kids can come out and visit and learn to see how things are grown. So
when we went on to Tanaka Farms, Glenn gave me a private tour that lasted 4 hours plus.
Wow.
And he was so generous on Father's Day on short notice. And, you know, the both of them, I just knocked me out on how hospitable and kind and generous with their time. We went to every crop and he gave me a tutorial on his growing practices.
Wow, fantastic. And of course, we had George on an episode this year as well. And we heard again about the plight of those Japanese American farmers who were so instrumental in developing California agriculture. And then when World War II hit, they were driven from their farms and how they survived that and bounced back, many of them. So that's a very important story. Okay. Does somebody else want to chime in now? Teresa.
Well, of course, one of my very favorites was our cousin Colette Worley.
Such a sweetheart.
I know. And she is such a wonderful cook.
Yep.
And her preparation for collard greens, she makes the best collard greens I've ever had in my life. And I think even if you don't think you like collard greens, her recipe for that will convince you that it's a really good food. She's my favorite.
Yeah. And she can cook so many things. She's so often sent food to me. And oh man, it's always so good.
Yeah.
What are you out there panhandling? So I'm sending you cookies, bread, and she's sending you like cooking, like, you know.
Yeah. And I didn't say anything nice about your cookies.
Yes. But I mean, like, you could have been hungry that day.
Well, I ate them all. I did share them, but they're gone.
They didn't with whom?
With a friend of mine. Anyway, so that's great. Yeah, our cousin Colette, and she has so much of the family history. We got to hear about her, our grandmother's cafe that became world famous. Teresa related the story of meeting somebody on a flight from Chicago who knew our grandmother's little restaurant in Dana, North Carolina. And she also told us about her husband Wayne's green beans. And those are fantastic.
Yes, they are.
So that's always a delight to have her on.
The jarring and preservation of it like was a little scary in terms of like time
of
consumption. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was
that's
thing.
All right. I'll do without. I'll get it from the can. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think
get it from Wayne. That's the way you got to go get it.
I think we calculated that he should charge to get the value of the time and everything he puts into it. Probably about $200 a quart jar. It'd be about the right price for those.
Right. and you know, it has to be that special variety of beans that he
that's right.
gets. He has to hunt those down. And
yeah.
So
extra points for who can remember what that variety was.
I'm stuck on greasy shortcuts, but
no, that's not what they were. We talked about those. They are called Morgan beans. And they, as we said, they're heirlooms that originated here in the Appalachian Mountains. And they've been grown by generations of local farmers, but they're now very rare. And in fact, they say they are endangered.
One thing about it, the people that listen to this podcast, it'll be very hard for them to find those in their local grocery stores.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably won't be able to.
So, yeah.
So they'll have to buy them from Wayne for $200 a jar. Send me. Go to www.waynesgreenbeans.com.
Oh, dear. You're going to be getting letters. I couldn't find that link.
Maybe I'll go register it.
Yeah.
Better hope there's not actually an address.
Could be.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Rick, you got one you want to share?
Yeah, I think Greg Carter from Deepwoods Mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Was very fascinating because, personally, I think mushrooms are the most fascinating of all the produce items because of the potential they have for even curing disease.
Yes, Greg Carter of Deepwoods Mushrooms in Mills River, North Carolina, very close to where we grew up. He joined us on the program to talk about the amazing world of mushrooms. He's been growing them for over 20 years and has made a successful career out of growing them, foraging for them, and selling mushrooms. But he also teaches people how to forage for wild mushrooms and how to grow them using the best methods for the highest quality mushrooms. He calls himself a fun guy, and he was. He was fun and very interesting.
He was very knowledgeable on mushrooms and their properties and what they're good for.
Yeah.
I was shocked that he even knew what chaga mushrooms were, which we have these in northern Minnesota. I thought I was going to stump him, and he actually sells them. He goes to Maine every year and harvests chaga mushroom, brings it back and makes tea, I guess, out of it. I think, didn't you say that your daughter bought?
Yeah. Yeah, he sets up at one of the local farmers markets here in Hendersonville.
Yeah,
actually in Etowah, if you want to get specific. And right. He sells mushrooms, and he had the dried chaga for the tea. Mm-hmm. I tried it. The flavor didn't blow me away, but I guess it's supposed to, the health benefits is what you want from it.
But
he was knowledgeable, and he was also very passionate. We like our passionate guests. You know, he really was into the mushrooms and had a good, interesting way of conveying that knowledge. Okay, Cynthia, back to you. Your turn again.
We have to include Mark Munger.
Of course.
Who we've known a million years.
Yep. Mark, yep. He started working with us early. Teresa launched his career.
Absolutely.
There you
even
go.
Though he was the worst about turning in the reports and his expense report.
And he has risen to the top of the heap. He is now the sales and marketing director for Ocean Mists, who grows artichokes and all other kinds of veggies, Brussels sprouts. And that's a pretty one of the top companies in the produce industry. And it's quite a position to hold, so he really rose through the ranks. So congrats to Mark, and thanks for being on the show. You were one of our favorite, of course.
What about Dr. Ashbell?
Oh, Dr. Ashbell, he was so good. Yeah,
yes. Good. He was very good looking. I mean, yes, he was very good. My gosh, that would be a reason that we have to do video, because oh my goodness, he was that very handsome fellow. He was as good looking as he is smart, and could put things into Mickey Mouse terms, and was on the crest of the wave with his career change.
Yes, Dr. Ashbell was a cardiologist for 20 years at one of the top hospitals in North Carolina, Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. 20 years he served there in cardiology, and he began to see that he would fix the patients through surgery and drugs and all of that, and then a couple of years later, 3 years later, they'd be back for more. He came to the epiphany that he was not in health care, but in sick care. And he didn't completely resign, but he shifted directions and he started putting in more holistic efforts, holistic programs for his patients. And a big part of that was going plant forward and getting them to eat healthier. And that includes a lot more fresh fruits and vegetables. So he had a very interesting story, and he's making some impact now in a different way and really fixing his patients and bringing them back to true health. So we were glad to have him on.
So staying on doctors, how about Dr. Savage? He was unbelievable. He was fascinating.
Yes, Dr. Steve Savage. He's a freelance writer, agriculture technology advocate, and a consultant. He's trained as a plant pathologist, and he has some great views about some of the controversial topics in agriculture, including the safety of fruits and vegetables. And that's why he came on the show to talk about the Dirty Dozen, which is the Environmental Working Group's list every year of fruits and vegetables that have the most pesticide residue. He came on to talk about that and allay our fears about the pesticide residue and to encourage us not to stop eating fresh fruits and vegetables because of that fear. Yeah, he has a lot of info, gave us a lot of info in that episode about how safe conventionally grown vegetables, fruits and vegetables are. Not that there isn't, and some advantages to organic produce, but being afraid of pesticides should not be one of them. And the Dirty Dozen list, which comes out every year, does more harm to people's health than helps it, because he feels, and a lot of other people feel, it discourages people from eating fruits and vegetables because they think they're getting pesticides. So that was an important contribution.
And then also when he mentioned the growing organics versus growing conventional, like the amount of yield, the amount of natural resources that it takes, it just didn't make a lot of sense for the nation, or I guess the world at large. And, you know, if we've got hungry people, maybe we can cut back on the organics.
And some of the chemicals that are allowed on organic are not necessarily good.
Yeah, they do allow unnatural chemicals on organics. Okay, very good. Yes, Dr. Savage. Hope we can have him back. Probably when the Dirty Dozen comes around again. Every spring, I think, is when that happens. Okay, anybody else now? Rick, you have another one. Yeah. Oh, Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa. Yeah.
Go ahead, Teresa.
What about our very good friends? both Steve Treaty and Jim Grabowski. Steve from Driscoll's, Jim from Well-Picked Berries.
Excellent.
And they were both great guests.
Yep. We learned quite a bit about all kinds of berries from both of those two gentlemen. Both good friends of ours, even though they're competitors, I think they get along as well and don't mind sharing the spotlight as two of our favorite guests for this year. And they told us a lot about how their organizations are most of the people that supply them. You think of Driscoll, you can sometimes think of these big brands in the produce aisle as big corporations, but they are primarily small farmers contributing, and they're just being served by the marketing team, distribution team of Driscoll's and Well-Picked. But a lot of small family farms in those companies, not big corporations. So that's one of the things that stuck out to me for both of them. Okay, my turn to give a shout out. My shout out, first shout out, goes to Robert Schuler of Melissa's World Variety Produce. We've had him on several times. So knowledgeable. He always has something fascinating to share.
He was a great resource on so many different unusual types of fruits and vegetables. And
he is the produce expert. He's been dubbed that by the media, and certainly true, because Melissa's Produce sells 15 to 100 to 2,000 different types of produce items. And I don't think there's ever been one I brought to his attention that he didn't know a lot about. I tried to stump him a few times. But yes, Robert, he's been on the show many times, and we call him the Steve Martin of the Produce Buzzers podcast, because like Steve Martin for Saturday Night Live, he's been on more than anybody else. So thank you, Robert, for being on the show so many times, always willing to come and talk to us, sometimes with a little notice, so we appreciate that. Okay, let's see. So who's next? Rick, you got another favorite?
Yeah, I thought... Mac Regan from Joyfully Grown.
Yep.
Very interesting family history of how they had the family operation and so many generations that grew apples and cherries. And just that they're like a family farm that goes back generations, and how complex growing cherries is. I thought his story was fascinating.
Yep. That was one of my favorites too. That family history. That's what I referenced in the intro about the six generations. Their family goes back six generations in the Washington State apple growing region. It was one of his great grandfathers who planted the first apple tree there. He walked from Nova Scotia to somewhere in Canada first, and then he came into Washington. And they have, like you said, it's several families that are bound together under that brand. And they have 75 of their employees are immediate family. So even though they're big, one of the biggest growers and shippers of apples, pears, and cherries, it really is just a family farm.
And it was very interesting how he grew up working in the orchard.
Yeah. Started at 6 years old. And we could relate to that.
Yeah.
All right. So anybody else want to?
How about Dan the Macho Man?
Dan the Produce Man.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he's good. He knows his stuff. And he's got that voice, that radio voice. So that was
kind of like yours.
Well, thank you. Certainly take that as a compliment, because he does have a fantastic voice. And he is known as the Produce Man. He knows probably knows as much as Robert Shuler. He's run produce. He had his own produce market in Alameda, I believe it was Alameda, California.
I don't know, but it was an old filling station. I love that.
Yeah, and he was quite a bustling place there in a busy corner of Alameda, California. He sold everything. And so he knows a lot about, and you should follow him on his social media, because he's always got some great tips for choosing produce items and making sure you get the best when it's the best, and can save you some wasted produce items by following him. Okay, Cynthia, you got your hand up. You have somebody you want to call attention to.
How nice was Wonderful Citrus when they were on?
Zach Lafitte. Zach's episode was one of our most listened to. Wonderful Citrus. They are the people who bring you the Halos Mandarins, which I'm sure almost everybody who listens to this show have seen them in their grocery store, because they're almost always there year-round. And they do they do a great job with their citrus. They came out in the past year with seedless lemons, which I still haven't found them in my grocery store. But keep an eye out for those. They're supposed to be just like a regular lemon, but you don't have to deal with seeds.
They are unbelievable. They're so good.
Rick, you said you found them in Denver when you visited.
Yeah, here. I found them in a grocery store, and we brought them home and sampled them. And we actually used them when we did that test of that berry, those makes something taste sweet.
Right.
Just by coincidence, we were able to buy some of the seedless lemons.
The miracle berries. There's another
miracle berries. Yeah.
Friend Robert Shuler who sent those to us. An interesting berry that originated in Africa, that if you eat it before you taste something sour, it will not be sour. It'll be sweet. So you should try
that. And it was that. And your grandkids that don't like to eat anything produce. Rick, they tried that. Did they try it?
Yeah. And they said it did taste sweet. So there you go. I mean, if they said it,
works for everybody, right?
That's great. A lot of people don't know this, but Wonderful Citrus is the biggest grower of red grapefruit in the United States. Well,
out of Texas primarily, or do they grow in other regions?
They bought D&E in Florida, so they have Florida grapefruit, Texas grapefruit, and California grapefruit. Right. And I'd venture to say they probably grow 70% of the grapefruit now that's consumed in the United States. That's just a ballpark guess, you know.
Right. Well, one of my favorites was Janice Honigberg, she was the pioneer, a woman pioneer that I mentioned. She was one of the first to start bringing in berries from South America and importing them. She was instrumental in bringing in the first greenhouse-grown peppers and tomatoes from Holland. And she's been very successful building that company. And so I thought her story of that struggle and the challenges of getting that company off the ground to me was very interesting.
Yeah, it was.
That's Sun Bell is the name of her company. I forgot to mention the company. Sun
Bell. She had no risk, no idea how much risk she was taking.
Yeah.
When she did it. And I can relate to that because the business that I started selling fruit for fundraisers, I was too naive to know really how risky what I was doing was.
Yeah. Isn't that the plight of most entrepreneurs? Like, oh, we'll just sell it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so many of them say, if I'd known what I was getting into, I would have never done it.
Sometimes, of the people in the produce industry, if I'd have known.
Yeah.
The saying, ignorance is bliss. Well, in this case, ignorance is wealth. Can be. Yeah. Jump into something without knowing what you're doing.
Like you walk into the casino and you don't even know that you could possibly lose. Just roll the dice. You know? And you keep winning. And wow.
And of course, as we talked about in past episodes, farming is one of the biggest gambles that you can partake in. Farmers are gamblers because they're up against the odds of Mother Nature and a lot of other factors that make their profession very, very risky. So, Rick, you have somebody to mention in that vein, I believe.
I would like to mention our cousin Mike Stepp from Stepp's Hillcrest Orchard.
Great.
One of the reasons why it's one of the best is because he has one of the most successful agritourism businesses, probably in the United States.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a family operation for 50 years, but what they do there is tremendous. They do a tremendous job. It's so successful. I mean, other farmers in the United States could pattern businesses after what they do there.
And they have.
Yeah.
In this area. I mean, they were the first to do that, I think. Just to remind our listeners, Mike is an apple farmer here in Western North Carolina. His father farmed apples, and he's taken over that farm. And for many years, they sold them mostly on wholesale, but then they decided to let people come in and pick their own apples. And they've got quite a very entertaining, interesting farm there that you can bring family to and go and pick apples. They do sunflowers. They do pumpkins. It's a fun day for a family to go there and pick the apples and learn a lot about how a farm works.
And that concept can save a lot of family farms, and a lot of people are interested in buying local nowadays. So
yeah,
if you can make a farmer successful with the agritourism business, then you can actually keep them in business on a local level.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't have that, the apples in Western North Carolina would almost be non-existent now without those pick your own operations.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and Mike pioneered that, he and his family, I should say, his father and his siblings, and the other farms in the area copied that and have stayed alive when the commercial production dropped quite a bit. Well, the other thing that's a big hit now are apple cider donuts. Cynthia, there you go. There's how you're going to get your apple a day.
I had an apple cider donut. A buddy of mine, a chef down here, Chef John Carlino, he had the original, if you will, in this area, apple cider donuts that at the Green Market people would stand for like longer than I would stand, and you know, like, you know, I'll stand for like
2 minutes for you.
But he had a crazy following.
Yeah, interesting. And those Florida apples, man, they make the best apple cider donuts.
The good thing though is you work off the calories while you're standing and waiting in line. You work off all the calories, so you have a.
No, that's the beauty of distribution. Hello.
The other big thing is apple cider slushes. Mm-hmm. They, those are big hits in at apple time around here in our apple festival that goes on here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Well, I will mention Bob Harrington, the fruit and veggie hunter from San Diego, California. He keeps finding new and interesting fruits and veggies around the world, and he's documenting them at specialtyproduce.com. You can go there, and he's got a database of all fruits and vegetables and descriptions of them and how they're grown and where they come from. And he's doing some great work traveling around the world trying to find the fruits and vegetables. I'm amazed at the things he finds that you've never heard of before. So thanks to Bob for all the great work you're doing out there. And thanks for being a guest and being a friend of the podcast. We hope to have you back soon to see what you've uncovered in the world, around the world of fresh fruits and veggies. Okay, Cynthia, you look like you want to mention another one of our guests.
The peanut.
Oh, yes.
Lou Ray. I mean, that was a great episode.
So that was Lauren Marcinkowski from Lou Ray Peanut Company. Yes, we had her on a couple of times this year. She was a wonderful guest and enlightened us about the incredible nutritional value of boiled peanuts, how much more nutritious they are than roasted. And it's a treat that's mostly Southern appreciated, but they're trying to spread the gospel of the deliciousness of boiled peanuts. Fans, Produce Buzz fans, you've got to try them. Look for them or make your own at home. Listen to that episode and you can find out how to do that. So thank you, Lauren, for being on. So now I've saved one of the best for last from one of our super fans, Andrea Eisen, who was a guest along with her daughter-in-law, Stephanie McBurnett, who is a dietitian.
That was a great episode.
They are.
And they came on together and talked about their story. Stephanie is doing some great work in the field of nutrition, helping people to overcome chronic inflammation and other diseases by getting them on more holistic diets and understanding that plant forward is key in overcoming some of these illnesses. Fresh fruits and vegetables. So our hats off to her. And Andrea is a big fan of ours, but she also has a very interesting story that in overcoming some health issues by going plant forward and eating more fresh fruits and vegetables. So it's an inspiring story. You should listen to that one. You will be inspired to eat more healthy after hearing her story. So thank you, Stephanie and Andrea. Thank you for your support and for your continuing listening and spreading the word about the Produce Buzzers podcast. Well, Produce Buzzers, I think we're out of time. Unfortunate, because I know there's others here we'd love to mention and talk about who were guests on the program this past year. They were all fantastic. You've got to listen to all the episodes, listeners. Go out there, find them, listen to them. You'll learn something, you'll be entertained. So thank you again to all our guests this year. You made our show grow, and you made it interesting, and you delighted us and entertained us, and most importantly, you informed us about the cornucopia that the earth presents. So we salute you, and we hope you'll be back again next year. Happy New Year, everyone. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Produce Buzzers podcast, brought to you by Produce Buzz, a gathering place for lovers of fresh fruits and veggies. We hope you were entertained a bit and educated a lot about fresh produce. Be sure to join us next time, and please tell your friends to do so as well. Like, share, and comment on our Produce Buzz Facebook page, and check out our website at www.producebuzz.com. There you will find articles about fresh fruits and veggies, how to select, store, and prepare them, as well as lots of interesting facts about all the wonderful bounty the earth provides for us. Until next time, be fruitful, and don't forget to veg out.